I'm Gianluca Sola, and welcome to a new episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I've been quiet for a while. Why? Because I went to travel on a tennis tour, a couple of tournaments, including nationals, with my sons. So, we were a bit busy there. But I'm speaking to you on the US election day today. Well, it was yesterday, but today the results are coming through. Anyway, and I have a brand new episode. In this episode, I interview and speak to Sebastian Gamba. Sebastian is the producer of a brand new Netflix documentary movie, which was released recently, and it's called Guillermo Vilas, Settling the Score. I actually had a chance to watch this documentary while I was away, and it was just excellent, really, really good. It's nice to see a tennis documentary done really well. There aren't that many. And it's a brilliant documentary. It not only talks about Guillermo Vilas, you know, the great tennis champion from Argentina, but it actually runs a parallel story with an Argentine tennis journalist, Eduardo Pupo, who actually is nearly obsessed with proving that Vilas, the ranking systems back then, were not correct, and Vilas was actually number one for a while. So I won't talk too much about that. You'll hear it in the interview, but that's the movie. But it's a lot more than that. It's actually, I think, more of a movie about friendship and life and so on. It's just a great documentary. You'll enjoy it even if you don't know who Vilas is, not interested in tennis or whatever. So it's just really excellent. So it was a nice chat with Sebastian. Listen to it. And we did it really like last minute, literally. I phoned Eduardo, and he basically doesn't speak English. So he said, look, I can't do an interview in English. So he got me in contact with the producer and Sebastian. So there you are. So that's it. Enjoy it, and have a good day, everyone. Ciao, ciao. Sebastian?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Sebastian, how are you?
How are you doing?
Very well. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Fantastic. Sebastian, I just want to make a little introduction. Sebastian, am I right?
Yes, Sebastian.
Sebastian, yes. Gamba. Today, Sebastian Gamba is my guest on the podcast. He is the producer of the Netflix documentary, which has come out this year recently, and it's called Guillermo Vilas, Settling the Score. We have organized this interview like today very quickly, so I really, really appreciate you giving me some of your time. I saw your documentary recently, just a week ago, and I loved it. It is excellent. It's such a good documentary for not only people who like tennis, but it's also got a great story. So well done. I really, really enjoyed it. I just want to talk to you a bit about the documentary. How did you, who got the idea and to do the documentary in the first place? How did it all start?
Well, thanks for your congrats to the documentary. This project began a few years ago when one of my associates, that he's very fond of tennis and he plays tennis a lot, he read an article in the New York Times that Christopher Clary had published regarding the denial of the ATP on the on behalf of Eduardo Pupo claim. So he thought that at that time that he was a very interesting story. He knew that Vilas had claimed for a lot of years for his number one, but he had no idea of these investigations because at that moment this investigation was not public. But New York Times publications made it public. So he thought it was a great idea for a documentary, and then he contacted Pupo. And a few years later, Pupo decided that it was a good time to get into a documentary, and we talked to Netflix, and they got on board with this project.
Yes, Sebastian, sorry, I just want to, because probably our listeners are not really, I just want to give a bit of background. Basically, this documentary is, well, first of all, I got hold of Eduardo Pupo, which is an Argentine tennis journalist, who's also very much a protagonist in the documentary. And, well, he told me today, I don't speak English, so that's how I got hold of you. But the story is basically this documentary. There is a parallel, two stories, I think. One is the one of Guillermo Vilas, which we all know was one of the greatest tennis players of all time. And it talks about him starting tennis, growing up, and becoming a champion. And then the other story, which runs parallel to this, is really the story of Eduardo Pupo, which, as I said, is an Argentine tennis journalist. And let's say his obsession, I think we can call it an obsession, to prove that the Vilas was actually ranked number one sometime between 1975 and 1978, somewhere between there. Because actually, Vilas had a year in 1977, which was astonishing. He won everything you can think of, but he was still ranked number two, because back in those days, they actually took an average of your results, unlike today. So he goes out, Eduardo Pupo, together with a Romanian mathematician who helped him, called, I think, Marian Chuplan. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but they together they together managed to put a huge file and send it to the ATP to prove that he was actually ranked number one. And to this day, I think the ATP has not approved it, but they also have not denied the proof. That's a bit of a background for our listeners. Just to continue. So when did you start shooting the movie, the documentary?
Well, you made a great brief on the movie. The project started with the idea of this Pupo investigation, but of course we needed to tell the story, a brief story of Vilas, who was Vilas, tried to get inside the Vilas character, and that was a great idea of the director, Matthias Gabor, that he wanted to put those two stories in a parallel, and he realized that in some point, these two stories would merge into one, and what's happening on the second part of the movie, when they come together, because in the process of all Eduardo Pupo work, he became like an intimate friend of Vilas, not only a journalist and investigator, but mostly a very close friend and confidant of Vilas. So that's why the movie turns into that. The shooting started in the last year, happily before the COVID pandemic. So we went to shoot in different cities like New York, London, and of course Mar del Plata, where in Argentina, where Vilas was born, and of course Buenos Aires in the lawn tennis that was is like the tennis catchable in Buenos Aires. And it was the scenario of great moments of tennis of of tennis, of Vilas playing tennis in the 70s in Ocean China, and of course Paris, and then we ended the shooting in Monaco, where Pupo meets Vilas in the final part of the movie.
Yeah, no, that's very nice. In the shooting, did everything go smooth? Was there some? Do you have some, let's say, really interesting stories that maybe you don't see or are not in the movie? Is there anything very interesting during the shoot that happened, which could be interesting for our listeners?
Well, mainly we planned the shooting. It was a very small crew. We went on the shooting with Matthias, me and Matthias, with two cameras, because we wanted to keep the very intimate atmosphere of the documentary. We went to Pupo, to Paris, where it's very interesting. It's not very developed in the movie, but Pupo went to a deposit where there are a lot of Vilas tennis rackets that are still stored there in Paris, and he got there and he found out very interesting rackets from the 70s, and he took a few and he delivered them to Vilas in Monaco. That is a very a small scene, but it was a very emotional part of the shooting, because the amazing thing with Vilas is that he kept everything from these great years of tennis, like rackets, like clothes, like everything. Even the passing from the tournaments, the brochures. It's like a museum, and Pupo is the key holder of all that stuff. And everything that you can see in the movie, when you see those empty hotel rooms where there's a cassette recorder, headphones, or a pair of shoes, or a pair of tennis, or any clothes, everything that you see there, even the books, or even a watch, are part of Vilas's legacy. Everything that you, every element that you see in the movie is originally from Vilas.
Yeah. Did you get to meet Vilas?
Yes, of course. We spent 3 days or 4 days with Vilas in Monaco during the shooting.
Okay. And okay, so you got to meet him for 3 or 4 days. Okay. And was he like very happy about this movie? What was his feelings? Did he, when he saw, do you know if he saw the movie? I'm sure he did. And what did he think about it?
Yeah, he saw the movie and he was very happy with it. And he was very happy with the shooting too, because he was, as I said before, very close. He had a very close relationship with Pupo. So he was pretty informed of all the Pupo work, claiming to the ATP. And he was part of the movie, and he knew every aspect of the movie. So he was really on board, and he was very, very happy with the shooting. Mainly because he was sharing some time with four people from Argentina. You know, and it's very important for him, because he's not in contact with many Argentinians in Monaco. So he was very happy to share some time with people from Argentina.
Okay. Because he lives in Monaco for permanently now.
Yeah, he lives in Monaco permanently with his wife and his children. And I think that he moved to Monaco some part in 2016, around that time.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of tennis players live there. A question I had for you at the beginning of the movie and at the end, but also, you know, in between, we hear Federer, Nadal, Becker, Borg, and Villander give their opinion on villas and
Rod Laver
sorry?
too, yeah.
Oh
And
yeah,
Rod
Rod
Laver.
Laver, I forgot about him. Yes, Rod Laver. I'm sure there's a few others. But how did you get hold of them, and was it easy?
Well, the interview is it's Gabriela Sabatini is also in the movie, and some other Chinese journalists like Peter Bodo and Christopher Clary and some other one more than I don't remember his name right now, but the most of the interviews were shot during the 2019 US Open. We had
Okay.
a crew there, and we could shoot most of the interviews there. But the interview with Federer and Nadal were shoot with Nadal were shooting in France during some part of 2019, and we could shoot the interview with Federer in Argentina when he was playing a match with Zverev. During a demonstration that it came out during 2019, and we could interview Rod Laver too during the US Open. So it was, a great chance to do it because we had a lot of people all together there during the US Open of 2019. And regarding Björn Borg, that is a very important part of the documentary, we could shoot his interview in where he lives. I think in I think it was in I think he lives in Switzerland. So we could shoot an
Okay.
interview with local crew all again during 2019. And the last interview that we could shoot, it's the Jan Ciriak interview, and it was very important for us to have Jan Ciriak in the movie because Jan Ciriak was one of the most important characters in Bila's life. It was
Yes.
maybe his great mentor, and was part of his great 77 year in tennis. And we could interview Jan Ciriak during this year in like a window that we have in the middle of the pandemic. So it was a very difficult job to get all these people in the movie. But we are very happy that we could get there.
Okay, so all these interviews you did yourself, they are not taken from other interviews.
No. All the interviews were made from different people. All the interviews that were shot during the US Open, during the US Open, were carried on by a local Argentinian team that of two journalists of Argentina. Enrique Cano and Dani Miche, that they were covering the US Open for Argentina. So they managed to work on these interviews. And the other interviews were carried on by local teams because we couldn't make it to travel to all these places and
Yeah.
with all these different agendas.
Okay. And all of them were very happy to do these interviews. They all have a lot of respect for Vilas.
Yes, it was amazing for us. I think it was amazing for Vilas too, to realize the kind of respect and admiration that some of these characters have for Vilas. For example, Boris Becker or Villander choking as Vilas as one of their idols. So it was very very emotional too, to realize
Okay.
the kind of view they have for Vilas.
Jan Ciriak, I mean, he is a legend in tennis. He obviously went on also to coach Boris Becker, and well, I mean, he's done so many things since. But I like the part of the movie where I mean, that really surprised me, where he goes to Vilas, and at the beginning of their relationship, he says, you have to, I probably won't get it right, but you have to train until you get tired. And Vila says, well, you'll get tired before I do. And they trained for 8 hours. And then finally, Tyriac said, okay, that's enough. I mean, that was a very nice moment in the movie. And is Vilas, does he come across as somebody, how can I say, he was a workhorse. Does he still come across like that as a somebody super 110% committed, or is he a bit more relaxed now?
Well, I think he's more relaxed because he's been retired. He spent a lot of time with his wife and his children. So, you know, I think that he has different goals right now in his life. But what is really important that I think that we put it clear in the movie is that Vilas was a champion of effort and training, and he could train for several hours just in one shot, and that's very interesting in the view of Ion Chiriac. And the other very important aspect that you can see in the movie is that he was obsessed with number one, because he was a great competitor. Yeah. So as any competitor that is in the major leagues of any sport, he wants to be number one. That's been a lot of a big discussion during the years, while Vilas, okay, it's not so important for Vilas to be number one. No. I think he really make it clear in the movie that it was one of the most important things in his life, one of the most important goals in his life as an athlete, to become number one. That's why it's so important, this quest.
Yeah. I think in the movie it definitely comes across as very important.
Yeah, and it comes across in his own words. I mean, it's not that any other people are interpreting this. It's in his own words how important it is to be number one, and that's why he was. Yeah. He's been claiming for more than 40 years to the ATP because he fought in sometimes. There's a sentence from Vilas in some part of the movie where he says, "Is that possible that I could never get only one day to cross the line?" I mean, and the UPO investigation showed that he was number one for 7 weeks, and it's very important to get this clear. Pupo made his investigation following the kind of ranking calculation in the 70s. He put in all the data. That's why the mathematician, the software engineer, Marian Schulpan, was so important, because he was able to process all the data with the same methods of the ranking of those years.
Yeah. And then, you know, they send, I mean, it's such a thorough investigation or file of data that it's 1,200 pages, yeah. I think they say. Yeah. And my question is also, to this day, the ATP still doesn't recognize Vilas had this two periods of being number one, according to the information that Eduardo forwarded. But what will it take for them to acknowledge this or rewrite the ranking for that period? Is it, how does it work? Is it the president of the ATP? Does, like, Andrea Gaudenzi, who's the president now, does he just wake up one morning and say, you know, I think we must change this? Or how does that work? Or is it a very long legal thing that will take years and years?
Well, I think it depends pretty much on the president of the ATP decision. In fact, there was some time where Kermode was almost there. In fact, there are some parts in the movie where they were the ATP told Pupo and his team that they were going to recognize, to make this restitution to Vilas, and then they put back. So I think in a way it's a decision that comes to the president of the ATP. As the ATP has a new president that I think started some part of this year, the president, of course, is aware of this claim and he had to make a decision. And I think they fear of other claims that could come after Vilas' claim. That the Vilas' claim is pretty fair. They know that all the data is fine. In fact, they didn't reject any of Pupo's data because it's all there. I mean, they didn't publish the rankings during those weeks. So they don't have any argument against Pupo investigation. The issue here, I think, is that they are afraid of other claims. It's like open the Pandora box, you know what I mean? So
yes.
that's the issue here. But in a way, I think
the main reason.
Yeah, but I think in a way it's a decision that it comes to the pressing of ATP. Maybe this movie will put this quest as a main issue. And they have to decide something during the next months.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, this movie documentary will also maybe help to push the issue and put a bit more pressure. You never know. But how close do you think you are, or Vilas and Eduardo is to get what they want? Or do you think it's still going to take a long time?
Well, I think they are closer than they were last year, because there are a lot of things that are going on with Eduardo Pupo and the lawyer, and they are moving forward in a lot of actions that, of course, the movie, and the movie was finished. In some part, maybe a few months ago, and this claim is moving forward. So I think they are closer to that claim that they were during the Kermode presidents. So maybe there will be some news, you know, during the next months.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah. Sebastian, another question. I'm just curious. Do you play tennis? Are you like a tennis fan? Do you follow tennis or not?
No, I mean I like tennis, but I never play tennis. I'm not a tennis fan. I like to watch some of the great players of tennis in the world. Of course, I knew Vilas as any other people from Argentina. Vilas is one of the great sport idols in Argentina. You can mention, of course, Maradona. You can mention Monzon in boxing. But when it comes to tennis, the great idol of Argentinian history is Vilas. So, of course, I knew Vilas' story. I knew much more now after working 3 years in this project. But what was very interesting for me about this project is that it's not only a movie about sport or a movie about a tennis a great tennis player biography. It's like a life story, you know, because it's like a quest for a restitution, and it's very interesting how these two characters merge in this relationship that is amazing. So for me, it's more like a life story.
I would agree. I think you watch the movie and there are these two parallel stories that we were talking about. But as you say, towards the end, they kind of merge. And maybe the most beautiful thing that comes out of the documentary is this nearly brotherly friendship and relationship that Eduardo and Vilas have. They kind of become so close, and it's a story of friendship as well, I think.
Yes,
trusting somebody and respecting somebody.
For sure. I think that is for me the most amazing story of the movie. the friendship that it comes out, and again, it's a life story. So it's over sport, you know. It's not only about sport. It's more about life. Two people that get together in life.
Yeah, about a relationship. Your favorite part of the documentary? Is there one of your favorite scenes that you shot? Sorry, what's your favorite part?
I have many parts. The whole scene of Bor talking about his relationship with Vilas, I think, is very emotional. The other scene that I like very much is when the scene with the 79 Australian Open, when Vilas talks about his father. I think that's amazing, because it's this kind of scenes that you are getting in another layers of the character, not only the player. So I those are the two scenes that I like most.
Yeah, I agree. They are very nice, very nice. Have you been? Have you always been a producer? Is that like your main job?
Yes. I always been a producer for many years. We have produced more than 100 documentaries, but this time, we are very used to shoot documentaries with Matthias Gaybord, the director. It's a long time team. In fact, there are a lot of documentaries that we produce together, Matthias and I, traveling maybe with another crew, maybe a DP or sometimes someone that's carrying out the direct sound. But we are very used to shoot documentaries with a very small crew, because we like very much the intimate atmosphere that you can carry on with a small crew. So we travel from all Latin America, United States, Europe. So we've been shooting documentaries for the last maybe 20 years.
Oh wow! Okay, is there any documentary that? What is your most successful or famous one?
We had a few. Maybe one of the most successful and famous is a documentary serial, a fiction documentary serial that we produced a few years ago. That is called Francisco el Jesuita. Is the story of the Francisco Pope, and it was based on the only biography that it was released when Francisco was invested as Pope, and that production won an international Emmy.
Okay, wow, fantastic! Wow, and how is this one going? I think this documentary seems to be doing very well.
Well, in Argentina, is crazy. I mean, Eduardo has been doing at least 100 interviews for different media, even in Argentina and outside Argentina, in 2 weeks. And everybody is talking about this documentary in Argentina. And I think that it's starting to get some interest in other parts of the world. I think it's gonna be something big. And of course, we hope that it could help to get the ATP accept the restitution.
Yeah. And just finally, what's your next project? Have you already got another project you're working on?
We are working in several projects, but maybe the most important is that we are working in a documentary about a big bank robbery that happened in Argentina in 2006. And this is the project that we are involved right now.
Okay, as I mentioned to you before the interview on the phone, I've actually lived a year and a half in Buenos Aires, so I've very good memories living in the city. And am I right that there is a club that is, I don't know if it's Villa, but it's called Villas. Isn't there a big clay court club along one of the main big roads
Yes,
or
just you're wrong.
near?
It used to be a club, a tennis club named Villas,
Okay.
but it's not. I mean, the
Okay.
club is still there, but they changed the name.
Oh,
Yeah,
really?
I think a
Okay.
few years ago they changed the name, but it was named Villas Racquet Club for a lot of years.
Okay. Yeah, I remember it had lots of courts. Yeah.
In the Palermo area, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
Okay.
club is still there.
Yeah, sorry,
No,
Sebastian. You wanted to say
the club
something?
is still there, but they changed the name.
Okay. All right. Look, thanks a lot for this really last minute interview. I really, really appreciate your time, and I hope the documentary will become, and I'm sure it will become an international success. It's really worth watching, as I said. And yeah, who knows? Maybe I don't know. I sent you another idea there. Maybe you can do another tennis documentary soon. I don't know if you had a
Yeah,
look at
maybe. Yes, we are
that.
always looking for great stories, you know. So you never.
Okay. Okay, Sebastian, thank you very much. You've been very kind. And yeah, all the
Okay,
best.
thank you very much for your interest, and all the best to you too.
Okay, ciao,
Bye,
ciao.
Gianluca. Bye.
Bye.
You know, man.